Well, as Peter said, my name is Weihan, and I'm a member of the staff team here at St. Alfred's, and it's my privilege to bring you God's Word this morning. You'll find on the yellow pew sheet contact, on the back of that, some Easter Sunday sermon notes. And all you'll see is five letters. The question I want to ask today is there some fresh insight into the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from this chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24? What fresh perspective does the Gospel writer Luke have for us today? Some of you have been Christians a very long time. Some of you may not even be believers. But what is it that Luke chapter 24 is saying to us today, afresh and anew? Let's get straight into the text. Verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh no, they must have been saying, where could his body be? Who's stolen his body? What could have possibly happened here? We're here to anoint his body with the spices, but it's gone. F is for floundering, confused. What's happening? Staggering about, confused. Where's Jesus' body? Verse 4, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning, too bright to look at, stood beside them. R is for revelation. A supernatural revelation takes place. In the midst of our floundering and our confusion, God breaks into our lives. It's a central truth of the Christian gospel that humanity, you and I, can't help ourselves. We can't save ourselves. The good that we know we should do and that we want to do, we don't do. But the evil that we know we shouldn't do, that's what we end up doing, inevitably. Only God can break the cycle of sin and of death. And it takes a supernatural revelation from God to begin the process of breaking that cycle. Verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, E then is for exposition, explanation. The angels say, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Remember, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. In other words, remember Jesus' words. Remember the Lord's words. Remember God's words. Remember, haven't you read the Bible? Let me expose again. Let me give you a Bible exposition. Expose again the meaning of God's words. There it is in verse 8. Then they remembered his words, Jesus' words. S is for spiritual awakening. The women realize, finally, that God's words are true. They remember his words. You can hear them saying to themselves, hang on, this is exactly right. This is exactly what Jesus told us when he was still with us. Remember, he said, I must be betrayed, handed over to sinful men, be tried, put to death on the cross, buried, and after 3 days, I will rise again. And finally, their spirits are awakened to the truth of Jesus' words they remember. What do they do with this new spiritual knowledge? What is the natural response in the human spirit to God's Holy Spirit awakening in us the truth of God's word about his crucified, risen, glorious Son? Well, the truth is H. They hurry up and tell someone else about it. I tried to get E in there for evangelism, but it just wouldn't work. They hurry up and tell someone else. Verse 9, look to it if you've got a Bible, or actually if it's on screen, maybe Liz can put it up on screen. Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. There you like, here you like, in the first 9 verses of the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, is the normal pattern of Christian experience. Floundering about, confused, without knowledge. God gives a great revelation. The revelation leads to an exposition of God's Word, the Bible. And God's Word is awakened in us spiritually, yes, by the Holy Spirit. We see in God's Word the reality of His existence, His love, the meaning of His sacrificial death, and the convincing proof of His bodily resurrection. And H, that truth, that awakening, drives us to hurry on and tell others about the risen Lord Jesus. Are you convinced? Not yet. Verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves. He went away, wondering to himself what had happened. There's F again. Floundering, confusion. What's going on? What is the reality of this situation? And then what happens? Verse 13, 14, we read, Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus, what are they doing? They're floundering. They're confused. What's the meaning of what's happened? And verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. Revelation. Jesus himself appears, but this time, verse 16, they don't recognize him. Jesus asks them, buddies, travelers on the road, what are you talking about? They say to him, where have you been? Have you been hiding under a rock? Have you not heard what's happened in Jerusalem? This man, the Messiah, he was going to deliver Israel, but he got himself crucified unfairly. He's dead, and our hopes are shattered. Total confusion and floundering. And into their confusion, Jesus speaks. What does Jesus say? Does he say, ta-da, here I am, it's Jesus, it's me, hallelujah, Christ is risen? No, he doesn't. Did you notice? Jesus gives them a Bible study on the road. E is for exposition. Verse 25. He says to them passionately, how foolish you are. What a bunch of dingbats you've been. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was in, we read, all the scriptures concerning himself. It must have been a really long walk. Jesus lectures OT 101, Genesis to Malachi, all the scriptures, Moses through the prophets concerning himself, until finally verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Spiritual awakening. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Here's a question. Why did their hearts burn? When did their hearts burn? Was it when they recognized Jesus? No. Verse 32. While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They've already seen the resurrected Lord Jesus, but in their recollection, their hearts burned while the resurrected Lord Jesus was opening his word to them. Here's the pattern, the normal pattern of spiritual reawakening in the Christian. In response to his word, our hearts burn. Those are the famous words of John Wesley, aren't they? I felt my heart strangely warmed as the epistle of the Romans was explained to me, and I felt for the first time that Jesus did die for my sins, and I receive full assurance of the same. That's why, dear friends, Jesus says in that other gospel, the Gospel of John, to his disciples, you believe because you've seen, you've touched the holes in my hands, but greater than you, more blessed than you, will be those who believe who will not see and have not seen. That's you and me. We don't get to see the resurrected bodily Lord Jesus here before us. But we believe without sight because we see him in his word, and we are greater than the apostles. We respond without seeing to the scriptures, to the power of the Spirit who warms our heart as we hear the word. Well, H is for hurrying up and telling someone else about Jesus, which is exactly what happens. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They were going to Emmaus, but they turned around. They go back to Jerusalem. There they found 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and he's appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Are you convinced yet? F-R-E-S-H? Convinced yet? Not yet? No? Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, while they were still floundering about, they were still having the discussion, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Proof at last that Jesus was an Anglican. Peace be with you. They were confused. We read verse 37. They were startled, frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They had no idea what was happening. Floundering. And Jesus appears. Revelation. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." He shows them his hands and feet. They still didn't believe because of joy and amazement, it says. And Jesus said, "Well, do you have a piece of fish?" He ate it in their presence. Please notice here in this little cameo how wonderfully pastoral Jesus is. He responds to their fear by speaking directly to them, by offering proof that he's not a ghost. You know, a ghost eats fish and it falls through the rib cage. But Jesus, in his bodily resurrected form, will eat. There will be food in heaven. Hallelujah. Excellent. But Jesus doesn't stop there. E is for exposition. The Bible study comes. Verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you when I was still with you. You should already know this. We've had this Bible study. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." It's Old Testament 101 all over again. And then S for spiritual awakening. They'd heard it all before. They'd been to all the Bible studies. They'd listened to a million sermons. But here it is. Finally, verse 45. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Their hearts, dear friends, were warmed. Their minds were opened. See, Christianity is not a heartless faith. It's not a headless faith. It's not as if you know it all, you've read the Bible once and you don't have to read it again. No. It's full of hearts, warm hearts, and it comes to the Word with an open mind. And as the preacher Dick Lucas said, the whole point of having an open mind towards the Scriptures is so that we might shut it on the Scriptures' truth. That's exactly what it is that happens here. Here is truth. In verse 46, Jesus tells them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hurry up and tell the world, I'm risen." Of course, the rest of the story of hurrying up is found in the second book of Luke, the book of Acts, where these 12, or the remaining 11 plus Matthias, are rebadged the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Jerusalem, Judah, Samaria, even to the ends of the world. F-R-E-S-H. Fresh. Floundering. Revelation, exposition from God's word, spiritual awakening to his word, and hurrying up to tell the world. Can you see it now? Three times in this chapter, that pattern is repeated. Luke is trying to tell us something. He's trying to say, here it is, when you look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the pattern you look for. Three times he drills into us, this is what happened when Jesus appeared after he conquered sin and death by his mighty resurrection. What are we to learn from this pattern? What are we to learn from Luke 24? Are you floundering in life? In your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Is there any confusion? Are you unsure about where he is, who he is, if he even is at all? Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, ascended into heaven. That's why we don't see him. But he's there, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he promises to be with us and amongst us. To be Christian means to have full assurance that Jesus died for your sins, but that he also lives in and with you now to give your life power and purpose and fulfillment. There should be no floundering or any confusion whatsoever about that reality. But if you are floundering and if you are a little confused about who Jesus is and where he is today, even right now, and if you're not completely assured that he's right next to you and within you, then what you need, what you can pray for, what you can ask for this very morning today, what you can ask for a friend to pray for you today is this: a fresh revelation of God. See, some people ask for dreams or visions or miracles, and God in his mercy sometimes gives them, often gives them in places where the Bible isn't readily available, like in most of the Muslim world today. But notice the normal pattern that we've seen in Luke 24. The normal pattern, God may appear, might have angels, Jesus himself appears, but the normal pattern is sharply focused on the exposition of God's words. God's words, Bible study, is the normal means by which God has decreed that people will come to see the life and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible study. There are hundreds of verses on this point, aren't there? God's words will go out and not return void. God's words are more powerful than any two-edged sword. God's words are inspired by God, useful for teaching and rebuking and instructing, building us up for works of righteousness. God's words are light to our feet and a lamp to our path. God's words will never pass away, though heaven and earth will pass away. The message is clear. If you want to put an end to floundering and confusion, if you want to help someone put an end to their floundering and conclusion, you must turn to God's words. There you'll find light and life, and there you will receive from God warm hearts and open minds. In Luke 24, even when Jesus himself shows up, it's to direct people to the words of God. So please don't focus too much energy on praying for dreams or visions, but refuse to do the hard work of Bible study. Jesus will say to you, have you never read Luke 24? The normal pattern of revelation from God, God's gracious means of grace towards us, is his own word written for us. He's not here, he's risen, but his words remain. Spiritual awakening. We notice how Jesus comes, and sometimes what happens is that people can read it all and they can know it all, but what happens is that Jesus must come and give spiritual awakening. Our hearts must be warmed and our eyes must be opened to the reality of God in his word. And that's another great thing we can pray for today. We can pray that as we read God's word, as we share God's words, that God himself might turn up in the power and person of his spirit to awaken us, to warm our hearts to him, and to see him clearly in his words. And then, of course, in the normal pattern of things, what happens next, inevitably, is that the Christian person is empowered and enlivened to go out, to hurry up and tell someone else that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, dear friends, that is the burden of Luke chapter 24 for us this morning. You might be here as a Christian. You might have been a Christian for a very long time, all your life even. But I hope you've seen something fresh in the Word of God. Something to convince you again to attend to His Word and to pray for His Spirit to make His Word come alive in you. But if you're not a Christian today, then I hope you've seen something of a pathway to God. I hope you've seen a way to perhaps deal with the confusion you might have about who Jesus is, if He really is at all. And that pathway is through God. You can ask God this morning to reveal Himself to you through His Word. You can commit, you can ask for a Christian friend to come with you, to read the Bible with you, to study the Word with you. And together, I should hope, you'll ask God for that spiritual awakening, that warming of your heart, so that you might see Jesus for who He really is, the risen, resurrected Lord, powerful to save, conquered sin and death. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed.